Bible says there in John chapter 21, verse 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." Hey, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I come to you now again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit right here today. I pray, Lord, that you use me. I pray, Lord, you give me your words, your clarity of thought, your direction here as we look at your word here to Peter. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll have your will and way here today with everybody here today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Do you love your wife? Husbands, do you love your wives? Wives, do you love your husbands? Do you love your kids? Kids, do you love your parents? How do you know that you love them? Is it because you can see them? Because you can interact with them? Is it because you can talk to them? They are real in your life? We can't physically see Jesus, but the question is, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? And do you base your love on feelings? Is your love based on feelings? You see, feelings lie to us. Our feelings are like this, a roller coaster, right? They're up and they're down. But let me tell you, love is not based on feelings. Love is not based on emotions. Oh, I'm so in love with that girl. She's so pretty. Oh, that boy, he's so cute. Oh, he's my dream guy. Look, you're not in love, you're in lust. All right? You're not in love, you're in lust. Love is not a feeling, it is a commitment. Get that? Love is a commitment. You say, why are there so many divorces in our country today? Because there's no commitment. See, love isn't something that you fall into, right? You slip and hit your head and you fall into it. No, it's something that you determine to do. It is a commitment, right? For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave, right? Love is a sacrificial giving of yourself. Love is not what am I going to get out of it? What's in it for me? No. Love is what I will give. What I will give. And if you want to know the definition of love, you got to look in the Bible. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. 1 John 4:8 says, for God is love. God is the very definition of love. He gave His Son out of love for us. And so therefore, you cannot know love without God. It's impossible. You cannot know love without God. And so we see here in our text, it's an interesting part of Scripture. You know, Jesus comes to Peter and He asks him three times, do you love me, Peter? Lovest thou me, Peter? Do you love Jesus Christ? You see, Peter was preparing to do a work. God had prepared Peter to do a work, right? He was still working on Peter, and we know that Peter had denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times, and the Lord was still working on Peter, right? He was preparing Peter for the work He was going to do, and get this is still for you and me today. The one requirement for accomplishing what Peter was going to accomplish and the work that he was going to do and eventually be put to death for, the one requirement is that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what it is you do, you gotta love the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's interesting because Jesus didn't ask him about his doctrine. Right? He didn't ask him if his doctrine was straight. He didn't ask him if he kept the Ten Commandments. Alright? The Lord didn't ask him about his feelings, right? Or his thoughts. Jesus Christ simply asked Peter if he loved him. So let me ask you this. If I were to come down today and go around the room and I were to say, hey, do you love Jesus? What would be your answer? What would be your answer? And if I asked you, how much do you love Jesus? What would you say? And how could you prove it? Right? But the Bible tells us how we can prove it. You see, the Bible tells us that what we do for the Lord is in direct proportion to how much we love Him. So, do you love Jesus? Someone asked Robert Livingston, he was a great missionary of the past. They asked him this, what is the one main requirement to be a missionary? I said, what do you think? What is the one main requirement? Was it that the missionary loved the souls of the people there out on the field where they were going to? And Robert Livingston says, no, that you love the Lord. That you love Jesus Christ. Right? The one main requirement for Christianity is that you love the Lord. And here's why. If you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not do His work. If you do not love Him, you will not do anything for Him. And if you do not love the Lord, you may start out doing something, but as soon as the waves and the wind start rolling, you'll quit. You'll quit. But the question remains, do you love the Lord? If you don't do the work of the Lord, you simply don't love Him. So are you doing the work of the Lord? Do you love Jesus? Let me give you a few thoughts on that. Number one, I want you to see, do you love Jesus with all of your heart, soul, and mind? If you turn over to Matthew chapter 22, do you love Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind? Hey, it's a legit question, isn't it? Do you love Jesus with all of your heart, soul, and mind? There in Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now what's going on here is the Pharisees are trying to trip up Jesus. The Pharisees are trying to get Jesus to get tripped up, right? They ask him a question here to tempt him. Okay? They ask him, what is the greatest commandment in all the law? And it's so interesting, every time I read this, I'm just like, yes, yes, yes. You know what Jesus does here? He quotes the Old Testament. He goes to the Old Testament. He goes to the Scripture. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. He gives them Scripture. They're trying to trip him up. They're trying to get him to fall. But Jesus quotes Scripture. In Deuteronomy 6, 5, the Bible says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Look, the God of the Old Testament, same God in the New Testament, people who say that the Old Testament is not relevant, they really need to start reading the Bible. Right? 66 books, it's complete, it's all right there. Scripture means Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Hey, God literally breathed out His words in the Scriptures. And they're preserved for us here today. But Jesus attacks them, not by giving them His thoughts, not by giving them His feelings, but He gave them Scripture. A reminder for us. When the devil comes, when those temptations come, hey, we're not going to fight them off with our thoughts or our feelings. We got to go to the Scriptures. We got to give them the Word of God. So someone asked R.A. Torrey the same question. What is the greatest sin that a person could commit? Well, the greatest sin anyone could commit would be to break the greatest commandment. What's the greatest commandment, you ask? That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. It's right there. Jesus says it. It's interesting as well. Matthew 22, verse 37 there. That verse there takes into account the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. It covers man's relationship towards God. Basically, here's the thing. If man would follow those, we wouldn't have the problems in this world that we have. If we love God with all of our heart, then we will not jeopardize or risk or even go against these commandments. Then the next one there, love thy neighbor, is dealing with the last six commandments. It covers the whole duty of man to his neighbor. Right? If we love man like we should, we won't kill him. We wouldn't murder them. We wouldn't lie about them. Right? We wouldn't steal from them. We wouldn't covet them. But hey, all I'm asking is, do you love Jesus with all of your heart and your soul and your mind? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I got to show you this verse too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I want you to look at verse 22. I asked you a question, do you love Jesus? Hey, if your answer is no, take heed to this verse. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 16, 22 says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Anathema is the strongest word for accursed. Do you love Jesus? He says, if you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, you are accursed. Anathema. Take heed. Take heed. Right? We look around this world and we see people that don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're living this worldly life, and you think it looks like their life is going great. But when that old heart stops a ticking and they go off out into eternity, they're going to lift their eyes up in torments. And one day, they're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Anathema. Hey, accursed. Where there is love, there's going to be service and obedience. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? In Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, keep thy heart. Right? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That heart. That's the very same heart that the world says, oh, follow your heart. Trust your heart. Obey your heart. Do what the heart says is right. Right? But the Bible says we got to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart's going to lead us, isn't it? The heart's going to direct us. It's going to put us on a path. The heart, humans are very emotional. We can be emotional led. We can be emotional driven. And our heart is going to control our emotions at times. That's why it's important that we keep it with all diligence. Why? Because Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah, that thing that the world says to follow, God says it's deceitful above all things. So if we don't keep our heart under control, we're not going to praise the Lord like we should. We're not going to worship the Lord like we should. We're not going to love the Lord like we should if we let our heart and our emotions dictate our life. We got to look up. Look up. The heart is desperately wicked. We got to stay in control of that heart or we will succumb to the flesh. The Bible says in Matthew 12:34, it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right? So you say something, you're like, I don't know where that came from. Well, it was already in there. It had to be in there before it comes out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right? Our heart will ignore God. Our heart will lift up ourself, our flesh, our selfish desires, as that's our heart. Right? But if we love the Lord with all of our heart, we will obey His commands. We will obey the greatest command, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. We will obey Him. You know, it's interesting when you see people that are saved refusing to serve the Lord, you wonder what kind of love that they have. Oh, they want to talk about God's grace and God's love, but I'm wondering, what kind of love do they have? They don't serve the Lord. They're refusing to serve the Lord. You see, when a person gets saved, that new nature, that Holy Spirit in us, that should give you a desire to want to come to church. Amen? It should give us a desire to want to read the Bible. It should give us a desire to want to fellowship with other Christians. There should be a want to do something for the Lord, because if you truly believe what the Bible says, if you truly take God at your word and you truly believe that you were a sinner condemned to die and that He literally plucked you out of the pits of hell from what you were to what you are, a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it would be such an easy thing to do to just serve the Lord. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. It's just reasonable service to get up here and preach. It's just reasonable service to get up and play the piano and sing a song. It's just reasonable service to get up and lead songs. It's just reasonable service to get up and drive a van. It's just reasonable service to go knock on doors and give out tracts. It's just reasonable service to vacuum the floor. It's just reasonable service to pick up songbooks. It's just reasonable service to take the trash out. And I can go on and on all day, right? It's just reasonable service. There should be some desire to serve the Lord if you've truly been born again. Amen? You see, that heart, that mind, though, it's a wicked, evil thing. That mind is as bad. But God says we're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. That mind, that mind can control us as well. What are we putting into that mind? What are we looking at on the internet, on the TV? What are we listening to? What are we filling our day with, bombarding, that's going into our minds? Right? Our minds can separate us from the will of God. Our minds can lead us down dark paths. Our minds. So what do? Our mind is trained by what we put in it. So we've got to put in good things. If you could flip over to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 8. What we put into our mind affects us. We got to put on our mind the right things. In Philippians 4, verse 8, he tells us here. In Philippians 4, verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, listen, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what's that next phrase? Think on these things. That's the kinds of things we should be thinking on every day. Every day of our lives, we need to think on what is true. What is true? Well, we know that the Bible is true. Thy word is true from the beginning to the end. Everything right here is true. Right? We need to think on God's word. God's word is true. God's word is honest. God's word is pure. God's word is just. We need to put the word of God into our hearts, into our minds daily. Why? Because the mind is what you feed it. If you sit on the video game all day long, what do you think your life is going to be? What do you think your life is going to turn out to be? A mess. Video games, right? It destroys and rots the mind. If you listen to rock music and rap music and the world's music all day long, you put that in your mind, what do you think it's going to do in your life? It's going to rot your brain. Right? We can go on down the line, but when you put truth, when you put what is just, you put what is pure into your mind, right? Good things. Think on these things. That's what we're to think about. That's why there are so many different viewpoints in this world when you take Christianity. Right? People putting a little bit of this in and a little bit of that. And I think I'll take a little Catholicism today, and I'll take a little of the Methodist, and I'll take a little of the Baptist, and I'll just kind of put those all in, and what comes out? A whole bunch of mess, right? The Calvinist did not become a Calvinist by reading his Bible. Okay? Let me say that again. The Calvinist did not become a Calvinist by reading his Bible. He got on the internet. He started listening to other people that were leading them astray. Why? Because he wasn't putting truth in his mind. He wasn't putting what was pure in his mind. He wasn't putting what was just in his mind. He was filling his mind with garbage. So garbage in, garbage out. Heart, soul, and mind. Do you love Jesus? That's all I'm asking. Do you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, and mind? That means we are to love God with all that we are. Everything that we have, everything that we are, He wants to see our love for Him in our lives. Do you love Jesus? Hey, let me give you a second thing here. If you flip over to back to our text there in John chapter 21, in John chapter 1, back to our text. Number two here, do you love Jesus by feeding His sheep? The question Jesus asked Peter there, do you love Me? He says, well, feed My sheep. So there, back there in John chapter 21, in verse 15, John chapter 21, verse 15, says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me more than these? Right? Lovest thou Me more than these? Right? So a couple of things here. Was He talking about the disciples who were gathering around? Was He talking about, hey, do you love Me more than the men, these other men, the other disciples love Me? Or, you know, they had a great catch of fish and they had come in and they had eaten of the fish. Or Peter, do you love Me more than all these fish? Do you love Me more than the work that you used to do? Are you ready to work for Me? Now, this is a good thing, Lord, Peter, but do you love Me more than you love your old lifestyle? Do you love Me more than the things that you used to do? Are you ready to put that to the past and work for Me? Peter, do you love Me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. He saith unto him, feed My lamb. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. He saith unto him, feed My sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou Me? And he said unto him, Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed My sheep. Feed My sheep. Now we know that Peter had denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. But we also know that Peter was a saved man. He did not lose his salvation. Peter was saved. He could never be unsaved. He was called by the Lord to work for the Lord. He could not be uncalled. He is to serve the Lord. And so three times here, Jesus asked him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me? And Jesus first said, to feed My lambs. Hey, feed My lambs. Hey, Peter was weak. He was frail. He had let Jesus down. He had denied Him not once, not twice, but three times. Peter was weak. He was frail. Hey, there's going to be times in your life, in my life, where we let Jesus down and we're weak. And we're frail, right? And we feel like there's no, we can't go on, right? There's going to be times in our life that we just can't go on anymore. And Jesus here is reminding Peter that, hey, Peter, you need to tell those people that I've forgiven you. Peter, you need to tell those people that I've not only forgiven you, but I'm using you, and I'm using you in a great way. Peter, there's going to be many, there's going to be multitudes that have failed over and over again, but I can still use them. I will still forgive them. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then Jesus asked him a second and a third time if he loved Jesus. By this time, Peter was a bit upset. What? He's like, I can't believe, why are you asking me this again and again? I said, yes, I love you. Peter was upset. You know I love you. Despite our failures in the past, whatever it might be, wherever we've let the Lord down, whatever we've failed in, we must press on. We must press on. Our love is going to continue to work in our life. Our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to strive us. It's going to empower us. It's going to give us what we need. When we feel like there's nothing else we could do or we cannot go on, tragedy happens in our life, failures happen in our life, things are going to happen, but the love for Jesus Christ is going to catapult us to move on. And Jesus is reminding Peter that despite those failures, hey, I'm going to use you in a great way. You know what's going to happen here pretty quick? Peter is going to get up, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's going to preach a message. and 3,000 souls are going to be saved. Wow. Wow. Amen. Right? But where Peter is now, he can't be used like that. God, the Lord Jesus Christ knows that. He knows his heart. And so he's asking him, does he love the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what I'm asking you. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you do, no matter what happened in the past, you're still going to push forward to serve him, to do what he wants you to do. In Acts 2:41, the Bible says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Hey, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Let me give you a third thing here. Do you love Jesus by keeping his commandments? Do you love Jesus by keeping his commandments? Do you keep his commandments? John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Simple, right? Simple verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love Jesus, you will keep his commandments. Well, how many do I have to keep? Can I just keep one or two? Is that real love? No, no. Got to keep all of them, right? It's not that difficult. In 1 John 5:2-3, it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." And verse 3 was one of our verses. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are" what? "Not grievous." They're not burdensome, right? We should keep his commandments. Why? Because of what he did for us on the cross. Because he loves us. We love him because he first loved us. But for so many people, this can be a difficult task. Keeping his commandments can be grievous. And you ask why? Well, because so many of us love the world more than we love Jesus. So many of us love doing our selfish, fleshly things, what we want to do, more than we love Jesus. I mean, you look at all of this country. You know, we always say this country was founded on Christian principles, and we were a Christian nation. And we're not a Christian nation today, for sure. We're not a Christian nation today, for sure. Guaranteed. If you take our nation today, a Sunday, all across the world, right, people are out doing other things. They're not in church. So many people. Right, they're out doing their own things, what they want to do. They're shopping, their business, they're this, they're that. But hey, do you love Jesus? One day we'll stand before Jesus. One day could be the day. We'll stand before Jesus. Hey, it's coming. But when we truly love the Lord, keeping his commandments are not grievous. Hey, let me give you some things. You cannot say you love the Lord if you do not tithe. If you turn over to Malachi chapter 3, look at that verse there, verse 8. In Malachi chapter 3, you cannot say that you love the Lord if you do not tithe. In Malachi chapter 3, in verse number 8 and 9, the Bible says, "Will a man rob God? Yet he have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me." That's serious, isn't it? He's saying, not only have you robbed me in tithes and offerings, but there's a curse upon it. I think many of us fail to realize that when we do not tithe, that we are actually robbing God. We are actually robbing God. And he pronounces a curse on the children of Israel who were not tithing. Many of them at this time, they were not tithing. And those that were tithing were doing it grudgingly, right? But hey, tithing means just that. It means a tenth. It means 10%. We're to give God the very top, the very best. And his word is very clear on this. There is a curse put upon these people for robbing God. That is serious. Now you want New Testament. Okay, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. God, his word is very clear about our duty as believers to tithe and to give. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verses 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints," the tithe, right?
the offering.
As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, which is what? Sunday. Right? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Hey, when is the offering received? The first day of the week. When is the first day of the week? Sunday. What is Sunday? Sunday is the Lord's day. Sunday is the day that we meet for church. Hey, the Lord, He commands us. You cannot say you love the Lord if you're not tithing. The Lord is to get the first fruits. In Proverbs 3:9, He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruit of all thine increase. Do you trust God? Do you love Jesus? Trusting and loving with all of your heart includes trusting the Lord with your pocketbook as well. So can I be an obedient Christian and not be a tither? No. Can I be an honest Christian and not be a tither? No. Can I be a loving Christian and not tithe? No. All I'm saying is it's better to give tithes and offering and live on 90% than it is to live on 100% and not have God's blessings. Right? I'm sure everybody in here can go story after story. I mean, I remember when we first, what? You? I mean, I don't even make anything. I'm in the military. And tithes? Oh, man. But then you tried it and it's like, wow, this works. I think I have more money now that I'm tithing. I don't know how that works. But it works. Right? In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7 goes on and talks about, he says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And in verse 7 he says, God loveth a cheerful giver. Right? It's not to be grievous. It shouldn't be burdensome. But he says, hey, try God. Try me and know. Try it. Hey, I did, and it came out pretty well. Right? He blesses those things just by being obedient. But let me give you, I got some more good stuff here. Husbands, I'm talking to you now. You cannot say that you love Jesus if you do not love your wives. Let me repeat that. Husbands, if you cannot say that you love Jesus if you do not love your wives. You can be turning over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. But so many people today do not realize what they're to do in a relationship. What are they to do in a relationship? And so many people today, they just don't get it. And that's why there's over a 50% divorce rate in our country today. Husbands, you are commanded to love your wives. Ephesians 5, verse 25. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and get this, and gave Himself for it. Again, this is the church of Jesus Christ. He loves the church and He died for the church. He gave Himself for the church. Why? Because He loves the church. And He tells us here, husbands, He tells us, He says, we're to love our wives the same way that Christ loved the church. The same way, a sacrificial love, a giving love. And He says here in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, as a man, as a husband, we want to be experts in submitting, right? Wives, submit to your husbands. We want to be experts in that, right? But we got to get this part. We're to love our wives. We're to love our wives. And we're to give ourselves for her. In 1 Peter, well, why don't you turn over there, husbands? 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, yeah, we're just going to stay here for a while. 1 Peter chapter 3. Hey, all I'm saying is, husbands, you cannot say you love the Lord Jesus if you do not love your wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, look there at verse 7. This here is another good verse reminding us husbands what we're to do. 1 Peter 3:7, the Bible says there, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto thy wife. You can go ahead and underline that. We're to honor our wives. Honor unto the wife. As unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. And get this, that your prayers be not hindered. Right? If we don't have a right relationship with our wife, if we're not honoring her, our prayers are hindered. Our prayers are not heard. Our prayers, therefore, are not answered. We are to honor our wives. Husbands, you're to honor your wife. And get this, you are the one that married her. You are to honor her. She is the weaker vessel. That is what God says. You know what that means? That means that she's not to be the object of our jokes. At work, or with the boys, or with the guys, right? We're not to make fun of our wives. Nobody should hear of any faults that our wife has. People should think you have the most perfect wife. Amen? You're getting all quiet on me. Come on now. Wives, what are you doing? Sleeping over here? I'm a good, all right, wives, I'm going to have to, it's going to be your turn here in a minute. Wives, you cannot say that you love Jesus if you do not reverence your husband. If you do not reverence your husband, you can turn over to Ephesians 5 as well. Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, you cannot say that you love the Lord Jesus Christ if you do not reverence. Now I want you to know that word reverence, it means to honor. That word reverence means to bow before with respect and esteem. To reverence. All right? Ephesians 5:33, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself." Got to get one more in for the men there. Right? And there we go. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Okay? You can go ahead and underline that. That means to honor him. Not to put him down, not to belittle him. To reverence him, to honor him with respect and esteem. There in Ephesians 5, look at verse 22. Wives, he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Hey, you're not doing it because your husband is such a great man. All right? Because he's such a worthy man to be submitted to. You're submitting to him because the Bible says we're to submit. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in what? Everything." Right? To submit to our husbands in everything. See, here's the thing. The husbands, us husbands, we're going to have to give an account one day on how we led our home. How we raised our kids. We're going to have to give an account of that one day. And here's the thing. The wife has the most difficult job, no doubt. Husbands, look at your wife. Wife, look at your husbands. She has to submit to you, husbands. I wouldn't want to submit to you. I mean, you wouldn't want to submit to me either. But she has the hardest job of all. Right? Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." Again, you're not doing it for him. You're doing it for the Lord. Right? You're doing it to be obedient. You're doing it because why? Because you love Jesus. Because you love Jesus. That's it. Again, with the wives, you should not make your husbands the talk of your communications with family or friends. You shouldn't be blasting your husband for everything he has not. Remember, you married him. And here's a bit of a newsflash. When you married him, he wasn't perfect either. He's not perfect today, and he wasn't perfect then. Amen? Man, y'all got too much turkey today. Man. All right. Children. Children, you can't say that you love the Lord Jesus if you do not obey your parents. Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Hey, obey your parents. Children are to obey your parents. The word obey there means to submit to. It means to comply with, to hearken, to heed, and to follow the direction or guidance. Children, young people, that's why you have parents. To guide you. To train you. To nurture you along. To give you direction. Hey, let me give you the last one here. Do you love Jesus? Well, do you keep His commandments? The fourth one here, do you love Jesus Because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. Right? So if someone asks, how do we know that God loves us? How do you know? How can we be sure that God loves us? I mean, we look around at this world. This world is full of evil. It's full of wickedness. How do we know God loved us? Well, He proved it, didn't He? He proved it on the cross. He proved it by sending His Son. We love Him because He first loved us. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 2, we'll be wrapping this up here, but Revelation chapter 2. Hey, do you love Jesus? God proved His love by sending Jesus. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He proved it. But as you're turning over there to Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, I want you to get this here. How much do we love Him? Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou, get this, hast left thy first love. Hey, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus more today than you did the day you got saved? Do you love Jesus more each day as the days go by? Do you love Jesus more and more each day? Verse number 5, we'll move on here. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Now this church had lost their love. They had lost their first love. They had lost their love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they got sidetracked on things. They got sidetracked on the ministries, on the services, on the fellowship, on the programs. Right? They got so busy working and working and working on the programs, they forgot about Jesus. They forgot about why they were doing the programs. They left their first love. Do you love Jesus? This is an example for us here. They had become so attached to the other things, they left their first love. Have you left your first love? Do you love Jesus more today than ever before? What are you putting above Jesus? What do you love more than you love Jesus? Family? A job? Money? Vacations? Screen time? The internet? Any of those things? Maybe something else? The Bible says there to repent and do the first works. The first works. When you first got saved, you loved Jesus. You loved Him. You knew the penalty that He paid for you. You knew He paid it all, and you just loved Him. You just took Him at His word. We know that we love God because He first loved us. So I ask you, Gilead Baptist Church, do you love Jesus? Gilead Baptist Church, do you love Jesus? Gilead Baptist Church, do you love Jesus? Let's pray.